and welcome to the Real Burbs of Harford County with Bob Zanlungo
and Kelly Turner.
This is our first episode, so go easy on us.
Yeah, the first one. A year ago, we were contemplating starting this podcast. We had the logo made. We were ready to go. And, you know, it was busy time in real estate, so we kind of hung out. And then what happened a year ago yesterday?
The first positive COVID case in Connecticut.
Yeah. So thinking back a year, right? Like, what did everything look like? It was quite the wild ride. We never thought we'd be here today.
Very true. I thought there was just going to be a couple of cases and then it was going to miraculously disappear.
But it didn't. And for those of you who have kids, much like I do, I have three kids. It was that like weird. I like took them out of school on a Friday and then they just never went back.
I'm lucky I don't have kids. So I took my dog out of day camp and she stayed home with me.
And life was still good.
And for the record, I didn't think it was miraculously going to disappear. I have a dry sense of humor for all the listeners out there, just so you know.
So yeah, 1 year ago today, a lot has happened, right? So we're talking about the real burbs of Harford County. So local area happenings, real estate, news, things that have been going on. I've been really impressed by the businesses that have opened during COVID. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of cottage industries and there was all of this talk at the beginning of the pandemic about if you're not working your side hustle, you're not getting anything done. But there has been a lot of businesses that have kind of come about and grown and had successful years despite all the other stuff that's going on.
Yeah, especially in the restaurant industry. You know, there's been a lot of, Bob and I are located in Glastonbury, even just here in Glastonbury, some new faces we've seen. There's been some changes like Harry's Pizza here in Glastonbury. Our Harry's Pizza changed ownership, but still tastes as delicious. One of the Harry's Pizzas in West Hartford has closed. The other one is still open. We've had a couple other changes. The Parkville Market has opened. Have you been there yet?
I haven't been to the Parkville Market, but I heard the snacks are delicious.
That's what I've heard as well. Snacks are very tasty.
We're going to have to go there for lunch one day.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. That would be great.
Today, it's almost lunchtime.
Oh, all right. All right,
we'll head down. What could go wrong? I'll take you out for International Women's Day.
Oh, it's International Women's Day. Yeah. That's exciting.
Am I supposed to say congratulations, happy International Women's Day? Thanks for not beating me senseless.
Probably.
Most days, I don't. What am I supposed to say?
Probably all of the above. Yeah, International Women's Day. For those of you who don't know, the mortgage industry is still predominantly male in the sales side of things. It's historically been males at the front of the house, females in the back of the house. But I feel proud that the company that we're at, Norcom Mortgage, isn't really like that. We're very co-ed. Just as Correct. Many female branch managers, I think, as males here. So
yeah, all across the company, they value women and their input. And another great reason why we work here.
Yeah, so true. So true. One of the things that I did as a woman recently, which is a newer business that has opened, is I went to Float 41. Oh, you heard of Float 41?
You were 41. Telling me about that. I don't...
You float in a isolation salt tank for up to 90 minutes. It was mind-blowing. So if you are listening, have kids out there, you know, it's a constant barrage of mom, 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 are you watching? Mom, are you listening? And a lot of small humans touching you at all times. And so to have 90 minutes of blissful silence floating in a tank, it was awesome.
Again, I'll go on the record that dogs don't do that.
I don't know. My dog does that too.
Yeah. If your dog talks, like, what are you doing here? Because you could
be making millions.
Correct.
Be making millions. Yeah. So it's been quite the year. Let's talk about real estate a little bit, because where we were a year ago in real estate and where we are today could not be further apart.
True.
So what was happening a year ago? A year ago, rates had gone down. So we were looking at some market instability. Rates were...
There was a bunch of fear leading up to the start of the pandemic, because there was all of the news coming out of China with the virus and what it was going to do to everything. And there was a lot of fear in the markets. So that kind of drove the interest rates down. So then that started a refinance boom. Yeah. So if you haven't refied, you probably should. Just FYI, side note. It was kind of just like crazy to think about. And I know I had gone on a trip to Mexico last year. And while I was gone, Kelly was texting me saying, I hope you come back soon because I'm going to refinance all your people.
That's so, exactly what I said. And right. I did refinance a lot of people the week that you were gone. But we still thought this was all kind of temporary. So we were trying to get people in, refinance. The rates aren't going to stay like this. But then they did.
Yeah.
And they just kept getting lower.
I remember, this sounds weird to say the weekend before the pandemic, but the weekend before the pandemic started, my aunt and uncle had a big St. Patrick's Day party. And I had gone there and already there was some kind of trouble finding toilet paper. So I stole a roll of Charmin out of their bathroom.
You stole a roll?
I did. And I didn't tell them until I got home and I sent them a picture and I said, I'll replace this at Easter. The joke was that I didn't see them again until Thanksgiving.
Did you replace it? Are you an honest guy? Did you bring them a new roll?
I brought them a new roll and I put it in the thing in their bathroom. But I think that's what everybody thought, that it was just going to be a couple of weeks or a couple of, you know, I thought I'd see them at Easter. You know what I mean? This was March and then Easter was a month away. And I thought, oh, we're going to do this. And here we are still dealing with all of it. But yeah, that's okay. I mean, we made it.
Well, and right around that time, so everybody was in like lockdown. Nobody was going to school. Nobody was going to work. But we started to see the buyers out there. Right around April, would you say, the buyers, the buying frenzy started happening then. I think for two reasons. Number one, rates were really low at that point. And so people were like, well, it's not a bad time to buy a house despite the pandemic. And number two, inventory started dropping. So people started pulling their houses off the market or not putting them on as they thought they were going to, which led inventory to be very low. And what happened? When inventory is low,
yeah, there's a lot of competition.
A lot of competition. So people started really going aggressively to purchase these houses. And that really started the summer boom where we saw sale prices start to increase. Many houses go in multiple offer situations, which if you are a home buyer and you've been in a multiple offer situation, this is causing a little sweat on your brow right now to think about those days. And we've sort of been riding that wave since like April or May, where inventory is very low. Buyers, there's a lot of them out there in the marketplace.
Well, you had a couple you were working with back in
May,
and it was like 30 something offers or something.
Yeah, 30 something offers in a raised ranch. And it was just, it was a little mind blowing. I think it speaks to the fact that this particular economic situation we're in right now is a little bit artificially caused by the pandemic. And it's not really a true, this is not like 2008. Where everything crashed and fell apart. It's the real.
I'm sure there's still people out there who would argue that there's a bubble or whatever, but there's people, trust us, we're not lying to you. The people who are getting mortgages deserve them and can afford to pay them.
Yeah.
You
know, not like 2008.
Correct. It wasn't like fog the mirror here. Okay, you can have a mortgage. No, those days are long gone. It's just what the rates are doing. You know what I mean? And you had a conversation with an appraiser recently, right? And what did he tell you about kind of the situation?
Yeah, he said it's tricky because we're seeing houses go for more than the list price, okay, because inventory is low. The value of the homes have increased in the last year, but not necessarily all to the point of what they're selling for. It's really the lack of inventory that has brought prices up more than anything else. So that'll be interesting, I think, as we head into the spring market to see as more inventory comes on. We've also seen probably, and I know a lot of our realtor friends could probably speak to this, some sellers that think they're just going to cash in right now and they're going to put their house on the market and list it for $100,000 more than it's really worth and it's going to happen. And those houses are still not selling, which also tells us the bubble is not quite as crazy as people think it is that there's still overpriced listings and they're still not going. It's the well-priced listings that are moving. So I've got some market stats for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So January single home sales. Okay, single family home sales in Harford County from January 2020 to January 2021, there was 30.8% less listings added in January.
Wow.
30%. That's a pretty big number.
But so, January, February are usually the slower times in our industry because it's snowy and people are holiday hangover and they're skiing and, you know, doing all of that stuff. But we haven't had an extremely hard winter. And this week, we're supposed to have some days in the 60s, so it's going to be nice. And I think if that stays, the weather stays nice and we don't get a massive blizzard, it'll be the market will keep jamming.
Yeah, we'll see more. Another fun fact, from January 2020 to January 2021, the average days on market went from 74 days to 40 days.
Wow.
That's a big difference. Yeah. That we can definitely see on the mortgage side of things. Again, houses are going on the market on a Tuesday and they're under contract on Thursday.
Yeah. Or, you know, people are listing them on Friday and you have to have all your final offers in by Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy to think.
The median sale price, so this is the bubble piece, and this is where I think is probably pretty accurate, went from $230,000 to $268,000, which is a 16.9% increase, which I don't think is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy. That sounds about what it should be. Percent of list to sale price, January 2020. 97.6, January 2021, 100.6. So that's a difference. Yeah. So that's one of the biggest struggles, I think, for buyers in this market is everybody's used to wanting to get a deal, right? Like the house is in the market for $300,000 and I'm going to offer $290,000. Those days are not here right now.
Right. And for like to break that last fact down for you, basically homes are selling over asking price.
Yep.
100.6% of the time.
Yep. And then the last one is the number of houses on the market. So from January 2020 to January 2021, in January 2020, there was 2,487 listings that were not under contract.
This is in Connecticut.
In Harford County.
Harford County. Okay.
In January of 2021, 1,299.
Half. And three times as many buyers.
At least three times as many buyers.
Right.
So you can kind of see what's been going on. You know, we get a lot of questions from people. Is now a good time to sell my house? I would talk to a realtor. That's who can really tell you that more than your lender. We can tell you it is a good time to buy a house. Rates, again, they're low. You're going to get more bang for your buck these days, but it is moving quickly. And the pandemic has definitely impacted the situation. I think the flip side to that is there's more rules, right? There's more rules in getting a mortgage in 2021 than there was in 2019.
Yeah.
But for qualified borrowers, it's still working out for them.
Exactly. You have a couple of extra hurdles that you wouldn't pre-pandemic, you wouldn't have to give us your pay stubs all the way through your closing date, which is something that you have to do now, which can be a pain for borrowers. But
if that's, you know, the only thing we're going to ask for.
Right.
Now, one of the big questions that has been raised a lot in the Connecticut market has been, what impact has the New Yorkers had on our market? What do you think about that?
We love New Yorkers.
We love them. Come on over to Connecticut.
Come on over. Invest in our economy.
We've seen a lot. I've had quite a few New York borrowers.
Yep, absolutely.
It's not been an uncommon thing in this market. You know, people are leaving
probably
the city.
Downstate more than here. You know, I'd say Fairfield County, definitely.
Yeah.
Litchfield County. It's depending on where you are in Harford County, it can be a tough slog for someone. If you can work from home and you only have to go into the city once a week or twice a week, that's doable. But most people aren't commuting from Glastonbury to Manhattan every day.
That'd be a long ride.
Right.
I think the other thing we're seeing impacting people looking to purchase new homes is the advent of the home office. Everybody who needs a home office who did not need one before. So people turning spare bedrooms and sunrooms and basements and family rooms into their office.
Kitchen tables.
Yeah. I worked for 10 weeks across from my children, my kitchen table, and it was rough. And I couldn't imagine. I was lucky. My husband is a contractor and he worked out of the house, but thinking about the people who are like back to back with their screen from their spouse, that's a lot of togetherness and a lot of being involved in somebody else's work.
Yeah, definitely. I don't have a spouse. I have a dog and she's pretty quiet during the day. She was good, you know, but it was nice. It like forced me to like take her for three walks a day and get out. And once we got into spring, it was doable.
It worked for you.
Yeah.
So what other pandemic things do we have to talk about? What was your favorite pandemic takeout place of 2020?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's easy. I don't even know why I need to think about it. The Beam House.
Why?
Here in Glastonbury.
Why the Beam House?
Because I live at the tannery. I can go to the Beam House and still get my Wi-Fi from my apartment.
Can you really?
Yeah.
So can you like go do work in the Beam House? Or?
I could. They have a little pub section in the front of the Beam House, and that's where I get the best.
Is there a particular thing you like the best at the Beam House?
They have a ton of great stuff. They just started, I don't want to say doing brunch, but like they got back into the brunch scene. So a lot of people, Saturday, Sunday, you'll see them there for brunch. And Tony, who's one of the bartenders, is like loves creating all these crazy cocktails, and definitely a cool place.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I think my favorite pandemic place to go out and eat is, well, I have two. One is Ginza in Wethersfield. I'm a University of Hartford graduate, so go Hawks. If you went to the University of Hartford, you ate at Ginza in Bloomfield, probably very regularly, which I did. And when they opened up the Wethersfield location, it was clutch for living here in Glastonbury. And that is my Sunday night special. My husband and I order the exact same thing every single Sunday. It is delicious every single time. Ginza's done a great job too. They're still operating as takeout only, and you order online. They text you when it's ready. You open up a vestibule. You don't even go in the restaurant. You tell them your name and they hand you your bag. So it's nice, easy handoff.
Awesome.
Good stuff. And then my second is the salad bar.
I do love the salad bar.
If you haven't been to the salad bar, there's one in Rocky Hill, right? And then the one that opened during the pandemic here in Glastonbury.
Yeah.
It's delicious. You get these great salads, great toppings, spicy Thai peanut dressing. Delicious.
No, it's good. It's right here. And I think that's Griswold Plaza,
right?
Where Bertucci's and Pier 1 used to be. Bertucci's is still there. Pier 1's not. but it's right next to the subway in that plaza.
Speaking of Bertucci's, have you heard about the ghost kitchen operating out of Bertucci's right now?
You were telling me something about that, but I don't, you said Guy Fieri was there and I don't believe you. But I don't know.
If you haven't heard about the advent of the ghost kitchen, it's a big thing that's happening across the country, but some have popped up here in Connecticut where you'll go on one of those food apps like Uber Eats or Grubhub, and you will see restaurants listed that you've never heard of before. And they say they're in your town, but you're like, I don't know about that. But what they are is they're operating out of ghost kitchens. So one, Guy Fieri's Flavor Town, I think. It's like a burger and wing place that's operating out of the Bertucci's kitchen. So Bertucci's has Bertucci's food, and then they have this food. And there's a couple other of them that have popped up. One that has been sort of hitting the internet and people are laughing about it is if you see, I think it's called Piccadilly's Pizza. It's showing up on Uber Eats and it's really Chuck E. Cheese pizza. And people aren't ordering Chuck E. Cheese pizza, but they will order from a random like Piccadilly's pub that shows up on Uber Eats. So yeah, you can eat the Chuck E. Cheese wrap pizza.
Wow. Bye. Don't have children, so I will never eat Chuck E. Cheese pizza, hopefully.
My kids are little, so I haven't really ventured down the Chuck E. Cheese route yet, but it's something that people definitely have been talking about online.
You said you just got really great pizza the other night.
Square Peg.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Square Peg. I live not far from Square Peg. For those of you who aren't familiar with Glastonbury, Glastonbury has like more pizza places per square mile. I think we have pizza, Chinese food, and Starbucks. That's what we have here in town.
Starbucks.
So we have a lot of pizza places. And I think you kind of get hung up on like, this is my pizza place. So me and my husband tend to order from the same place all the time. But I had all the kids with me. And if you have small kids in car seats, you know, not much is worth getting your kids out of the car for. So I ordered from Square Peg because you can order online, you can pay online, and they have a takeout window. You just pull up, you give them your name, and they hand you your food. It was amazing.
Perfect.
And the pizza was awesome. I was honestly, truthfully, really impressed. It's New York style, like thin crust, crispy. And then I got meatballs. I have a 3-year-old son who is meatball obsessed. It's his number one favorite food. So I ordered him these.
Meatballs are amazing.
They're delicious. Yeah. I ordered him these giant meatballs and he housed them like nobody's business. Yeah, and no, it was really good. It was awesome. Really good. Yeah. You know, we're hoping going forward in this podcast, we're going to be inviting some guests on, right?
Yep.
That's the goal. Local businesses, anywhere in Harford County, people making a difference, nonprofits, people raising money, whatever might be of interest of people. So we would love for you to find us on Instagram, The Real Burbs of Harford County, and give us some suggestions. Who do you want to see? And yeah, we're gonna kick things off with some guests coming up. Any predictions about what the next couple of weeks hold for us, right? Connecticut has released some new guidelines for us. So,
which is awesome. I think that they said that restaurants can go back to full capacity as much as they can. I think there still has to be a separation between the tables, but a lot of places have been doing great kind of throughout the summer and had outdoor dining and all of that stuff. So hopefully that'll kind of continue. And once we get through March and hopefully into April, it'll be good. And we'll be getting all the businesses back up and running and a little bit back to normal.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. We went to the Harford Science Center and Mystic Aquarium in the last couple of weeks with the kids. First kind of times out. Both great. Everybody did a great job. I think for the most part, people are being pretty respectful, wearing their masks, putting their hand sanitizer on.
And the CDC just earlier this morning released guidance for if you've gotten your vaccine. They said you can gather in small groups without a mask, but to take more precautions in public. I mean, that kind of just generally makes sense. As more and more people get vaccinated or we get to herd immunity, things will start getting more normal.
My husband and I were discussing this weekend. We have this bin of masks. So I have 3 kids under 6. And so you can only imagine how many masks we need and how many of them there are. These teeny tiny masks all over my house. 2 of my kids are girls, so masks are also really excellent fashion accessories. You can have Elsa masks and Paw Patrol masks. And we have an Ariel the Little Mermaid mask on today. But we said, you know, it's going to be an interesting day when we like put them in a bag and put them away. And then, you know, 3 years from now, you're cleaning out your mudroom and you find the bag of masks and you're, what do we do with these? Do you keep them for the future pandemic?
Yeah.
Do you get rid of them? It's such a weird, like, current thing, right? That you like buy. And even like, has anyone found themselves buying like, oh, this is a cute mask? If you had asked yourself 1 year ago, were you going to buy a cute mask? Like what would that moment have been like?
Yeah, I know. It's wild to think. I mean, personally, I think masks will still kind of be around in the sense of it's become a cultural thing. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to be wearing masks all the time, but I wouldn't be surprised if you saw people during flu season wearing masks, and it won't be odd. I think there'll still be people who will wear them if they're not feeling well or during flu season, something like that. So I don't necessarily know that they're gone forever, but it won't be like, let me get my mask, the first thing you grab when you get out of your car, that type of kind of rote stuff that you do now with it.
Have you walked into a store without yours yet?
I've like gotten 10 paces away from the car and I'm like, damn it. I gotta get my mask.
I had one. I walked into CVS here in Glastonbury. We're actually right across from our office. And I strode right in, no mask. And I like open the door, walk in, and the look of horror on a woman's face inside like brought me right back to reality. Like, oh God, I don't have my mask. I had to go like running back to my car. And then you're like mortified, like, oh, I'm so rude.
And you're like, really? I'm not that person. Yeah. I'm just being a dope.
Let me go put it on. We went to the park yesterday. I thought this was interesting. I was surprised. We went to the riverfront park. How many people outside were wearing masks? I would say it was almost 50-50. We tend to be kind of like outdoors, no mask, unless we're going to be on top of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting.
I have to say that I've probably gotten more into the habit of wearing my mask, like if I'm taking the dog for a walk or something.
It's warm.
Yeah, because it keeps my face warm, to be 100% honest. But it will be nice when you're not in the common space and you don't have to wear it.
My four-year-old loves her mask and daycare laughs because they don't have to wear them outside, but she chooses to wear hers because it keeps her face warm.
It does. Right? I'm not lying.
The first time this winter that you went outside and you're like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Yeah. So hopefully with any luck, by the time it's 90 degrees, we won't have to be worried about them as much as we are now.
Yeah, exactly. So awesome. Well, we thank you all for joining us.
You're very welcome. Happy International Women's Day. Thank you once again, Kelly, for my partner in crime. You've been listening to The Real Burbs of Harford County. As Kelly said, you can find us on Instagram at The Real Burbs of Harford County. And we'll both see you in the next episode.